Begin the new Masechet Baba Kama. We begin on Daf Beis, where we begin this new Seid, the Seid in Ezekiel, which discusses the civil law in Jewish halacha. And primarily, our Masechet, which is called Baba Kama, literally means to say the first gate, which is related to what's called Ezekiel, not Seid in Ezekiel, but as one Amor brings it, that there's actually three parts, Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Basra, which is the first, the middle, and the last of different gates, regarding the components of interpersonal hours, discussing primarily the laws of Nezikin, of damages, Baba Metziah discussing primarily that of claims and counterclaims, and Baba Basra discussing primarily that of rights to land. So our Mishnah opens up with the topic of our Masechta regarding Arba Ovos Nezikin. There are four primary categories of damages, which, as Rashi points out, the reason why they're called Ovos, primary, is because, as the Gemara will explain, that they're written explicitly in the Pasuk. And the Gemara will explain, so what are the toilades, what are the derivatives that we're saying these are the primary categories of damages which a person is liable for, and that there are derivatives that are similar to them, which are not written in the Pasuk, which a person would also be liable for. So what are the four primary categories of damages that a person has, which he's liable for if it damages something else? Are hasher, the ox, vaboyer, is the pit, which, as Rashi points out, the way they're written in the parsha, that's how the Tana organized them in the Mishnah, because the first parsha says regarding Shur, and then the second one regarding Pit, and therefore that's how the order is regarding these four primary damages. And Vahamava, the third one is Mav, which Gemara is going to explain exactly what is that that's considered a damager. And Vahever, which is from the term of like Leisavar Ish B'chomash V'seichem, is the term of fire, as the Pasuk tells, Ki Seitse Ish, when the fire goes out, person is liable for his fire. These are his four primary things that a person has that he's liable for if it causes damage. Now, the Mishnah points out, Loi Hari Hasher Kari Hamava. The characteristic of the ox is not like the characteristics of Mava, which we didn't even define what that is yet, but what the Mishnah is pointing out, had the Torah only written, which the Mishnah is addressing this question, why do I have to write these four primary damages? What's the difference between fire and an ox? Something that's yours, you're responsible for, and you'll be liable for. So as the Mishnah is addressing, it's saying, had the Torah only written the ox, we would not have known the halacha of mava from it. That's why you have to write mava and not just shar. Now, Rashi points out also, and addresses an obvious question, that's why the Mishnah opens up in discussing why you need to say all four of these nezikin. It went from Rehashur, which is number one, to Rehamav, which is number three. And it didn't say, seemingly in the order that the Tana had put it, which is how the Pesukim are, which is, say, Rehashur, Karehabur, which is the second one. The reason why it doesn't say it like that is because it actually couldn't have then continued with the next line of logic by saying, and loy zevzeh, and not only would you have then known those two things, Jesh ben Ruachayim, which have a living spirit, but I would have only known then those two. How would I know number three and then number four, which don't have a living spirit? You couldn't have said that had you gone first to Shur and Bur, because Bur doesn't have a living spirit. It's not something, it's not an animate thing. It just stays as it is. So therefore, since we wanted to show you why all four are different in the order of saying how if I would have known this one, I would have not have known this other one. And even if I knew these two, I would have known number three. And even if I would have known number three, I would have known number four. You would have stopped after Shur and Bur because you could actually learn out everything from there already. Now, additionally, another reason is because actually we're teaching a chiddush. There's another chiddush in saying by Shur and Mava that although both of them have a living spirit, but still, Shur is not like Mava, and like the Mishnah continues, neither is Mava like Shur. In other words, you would not be able to learn that one from the other, even though they have similarities, that they have a living spirit. There's something that are at that animate things, they're mobile, where and more than just mobile, is that they have a spirit that moves them. So therefore, as Rashi points out, the Gemara will explain what is the Lo Harei, why are they different? But those are the two interpretations of Rashi, why the Mishnah went to say that I would not have known one from the other, skipping number two, either because had I gone to number two, I would not have been able to continue because I would actually know all of them from there, or because we wanted to tell you a bigger chiddush, a novelty, even though Shur and Mavar have similarities, which is that they have a Ruach Chaim, as the Mishnah will continue, still we would not have known one from the other. Now the Mishnah continues, V'loi zeh v'zeh, she'esh ben Ruach Chaim, and neither with these two, which is Shur and Ox and Mava, which we didn't define yet, that they both have a living spirit. Kareha'esh, Shem by Ruach Chaim, they're not similar to fire, which doesn't have a living spirit. And therefore, had the Torah not written fire that you're liable as one of the mazikin, you would have thought that you're going to be exempt, because it's not something that you should know it's going to damage. A living spirit thing, it can go, an ox can move away. Of course you have to be careful. But something like fire, which doesn't have a living spirit, on its own it doesn't move, maybe then I would have said that you wouldn't be liable. Therefore you had to say fire too. Now, moreover, v'lei ze v'ze. Now, neither would you know from these three, shadarkan leilich ulahazik, that ultimately the ox, mava, and fire, their normative is that they go and they damage, although fire doesn't go by itself, it doesn't have a living spirit, but wind takes it, but it's normal for it to damage in movement. So I would have only known maybe over there, you know it's going to move, and therefore then you should be responsible. But kari habayu she'in darkad leilach ahazik, I would not have known regarding the pit, where it's not normative for it to move and damage. Yeah, people could fall in it and get damaged, but it stays stationary. Therefore, I would have said that maybe pit, you'd actually be exempt, because, okay, let the other guy be careful, watch where he's walking. And that's why we have to say all four, hashar, habar, hamava, and haheva. Now, the Mishnah concludes by saying, hatzara shavish abhan, the common denominator of all these four primary damages, which are called the avis nezikin, which the Gemara is going to explain what's this coming to add on, why do I have to give you a common denominator? Shadarkin lahazik, first of all, it's normal for them to create damage. Ushmiras nalecha, and therefore there's a liability for you to safeguard them, to watch over them that they don't damage. And ukshehizik, when they damage, chav hamazik l'shalom tashlumi nezik, then the damager is liable to pay for the amount of the damage. Bimei teva aretz, and that is with the best, highest quality of land that he has to pay up the amount of the damage. In other words, if he wants to pay up land. If he wants to pay up land, he's got to give from what's called Idis, his best, highest quality. That's the common denominator of all these four, Arba, Avos, Nezikin. Now the Gemara asks, Miliktani Avos, and the fact that it calls it, which literally means say father, which are the primary, that there's four primary categories of damages, Mechlal Dikar told us. So the inference is, if there's a Tati, then there's a child. You don't get called a father if you're not a, you can be called a husband, but you want to be called a father. Father infers that there are children, which means to say that there are derivatives from these primary categories. So the question the Gemara wants to know is, told they sin kayyitzibhan? Do we say the derivatives, whatever is similar in characteristic to the father, to the primary categories of shor or bor or mava heva, do they have the same halacha? Or lav kayyitzibhan, are they not the same? As the Gemara explains that we find two different sources in halacha that also have others, and we'll see that in one place, the told us are kayyitzibhan, another place they're not. And therefore the Gemara is going to know what's the halach over here by nezikin, by damages. As the Gemara says, Gabi Shabbos Tana. Grand halachas of Shabbos, we learn in the Mishnah Mesach Shabbos that says, Avais Malachis Arbaam Chasar Achas. The primary malachas of Shabbos, which we call the Lamates Malachas, are 40 minus 1. There are 39 primary categories of work that's forbidden to be done on Shabbos. Now again, Avais Machal Deketoldis. The fact that there are primary categories in Shabbos infers that there are derivatives. Says the Gemara, told us in Kayetzibhan, regarding the halachas of Shabbos, we find that the derivatives have the same halacha as the primary categories. Whereas the Gemara explains, Loishno avchatas, it doesn't make a difference regarding a primary category of whatever malacha you're doing, of planting or plowing, whatever it is. When you do it by mistake, you're going to be liable for a karmachatas. Loishno toldachatas, and so too goes for a derivative, something which is watering, which then that helps with planting, which is a derivative of Zerea, you're also going to be chayv for karmachatas. And loishna avski, neither does it make a difference when you do a primary category, when you do it deliberately, that there's a liability of being stoned. Loishna taldaski, it doesn't make a difference when you do a taylada, a derivative, that's also going to be a punishment when you do bemezid of stoning. So, therefore, there we find that taldasin are kayyitzibhan. Now, the Gemara points out, so ma'ika bin avla taylada, so then what's the difference between one being called a primary and one being called derivative, if there's actually no difference? Why would we give one the designation of primary and another one derivative? So the Gemara says, Nafkimina, the difference is what title you have, is the ilu avich te avis behada adodi. Because in contrast to, if let's say somebody does two primary categories, he does zereya, he does chayrish, he does ma'abed, two different primary categories by mistake at the same time. Or inami shtei toldos b'halda adodi. It does two derivatives, which are derivatives of the primary, but two different ones from two different categories at the same time. So the mechayiv is going to be liable for two carbon chatois al kol chada v'chada. For each one individually, you do lamates malachas shabbos, you're getting 39 carbonas that you're going to be liable for if you do it by mistake. So if you do two, as long as they're from different avos, either two avos or two toldos from different avos, then you're going to be liable for each one separate karbachatas. But v'ilu oved aveter la didei. But when you do a primary malacha and you do the derivative from that, so if let's say you're planting and you're watering, which the watering is a telada of the planting, le'mechayev alacha, the only reliable for one, not for both, only for the av malacha, but for the telada, the derivative of that one, you're not liable because it's only part of the av. Now you could be liable for it itself, but when you're doing the av with it, you're only liable for the av. Now that's the significance of one being called the av, one being called telada, is that in that situation, you're only going to be liable for the av, not for the telada. However, the Gemara asked, "Ulu Rabbi Eliezer de mechayva telada b'makam av." But according to Rabbi Eliezer, that he holds that actually you are liable when you do an av and a telada, you can be chayv two karban chatois, as his opinion is mentioned b'sechtes krisis daf tazayim and aleph. So then, according to him, you're back to the question: am I karli av? Am I karli telada? Why is one called the av, the primary? One's called the derivative. If even that answer we gave is not sufficient, because he holds you would be chayv for both. So that the Gemara explains. That malacha, which is a constructive act, which was primary and distinct for the avodah of the Mishkan, that's what was called an av. And as Rashi points out, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says in the Tesem Beis, that all the av malachas of Shabbos are learnt out from the malachas of Mishkan, as they're written both in the same pasuk. So those which are distinct, which were from the primary ways of doing the Mishkan, which they had to plant for all those herbs that they used for the dyes. So those are called the av malachas. But those which are not part and parcel of the primary things which are done in the Mishkan, although that they're similar characteristic to the av, and therefore they're also forbidden on Shabbos, but they're not called an av because the av are the primary. Why they're primary? Only because, how do we know that they're forbidden on Shabbos? Because we learn from the Mishkan. You did these 39 things in the Mishkan, constructive acts, and that's how they made the Mishkan. Those are the things that the Pasuk is telling you forbidden on Shabbos. Now, so they're called Av. Now, the other things, although they're going to have the same halacha as the Av, and you leave Michaev on the Av and Telada in the same, when you do them both at the same time, but you can't call them an Av because they're not learned out from the Mishkan directly, but rather because they're similar characteristic to the Av. That's why one's called the Av and one's called a Telada. So, therefore, as we said, these are teladas. Now, however, they are kayitzben to the av. They have the same halachas like the av. Now, however, in contrast, gabi tumasna. Regarding the halachas of ritual impurity, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Kehillim that says avos hatumas, the primary categories of tuma, which means they're the source of a tuma, which then has derivatives that continue going from an av to a rishon to a sheni, even possibly to a shlishi by truma and to a revi by kodesh. So what are the primary? The hasherets, which is one of the vermin, one of these types of insects, that worms, that when it's there's eight different ones mentioned in the Torah, when they're dead, they transmit tuma to people, to different things, vashach vazera, and the semen from a male. As we continue, tumat beis and utmei meis, meaning someone that touched a corpse, because that person is an avatuma. The reason being is because the corpse itself is what's called an avi avoisatuma. He's what's called literally a grandfather of tuma. Now, so therefore, someone who touches the corpse himself becomes an avatuma, a primary source of tuma, and he would then transmit tuma to a person that he touches or to a vessel that he touches, because the pasuk says kolashi yigabay hatuma yitma. Whoever touches this thing that's tuma will become tuma. Now that pasuk is talking about a tumei meis. Now it sounds like that he himself will transmit tuma to a person, because the pasuk there says va'nefesh negas. And the person that touches him will become Tame himself. So those are what's called primary categories. Only an Av could, for example, be Metame to an Adam, the Kelim, to a person, and utensils, which then they become a Rishon, and as it's passed down, it gets lower down. So that's what the Gemara says, told the same Lavka Yitzban. Regarding the Lachas of Tuma, the derivative does not have the same Alacha like the Av, because the Ilu Av Metame Adam Kelim. An Av Tuma, primary source, a Sheretz, a Tmei Meis, they could, when they taught, or other ways that they transmit tuma to a person, utensil, they look tell all this, but derivatives, for example, something that became tuma from the av, which then is a rishon of tuma, which is called telada, eichel namashki metame. They could only be metame, transmit tuma to a food item, to a liquid, which then that becomes a sheni, but other mekel moi metame, you can't make a person and utensil into a sheni, so we see that the halacha is different by tuma, that the telada is not the same as the av. So therefore, the Gemara wonders, Hachamai, what's Allah over here? We know the teladas of Shabbos are like the Abbas. We know the teladas of Tumah are not like the Abbas. Here, by the teladas of Nezikin, of damages, Do we say that Teilodis are the same, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if you're an Av, like the Shar, Bar, Mava, Heva, or the Teilodah, if it's going to damage, you're going to have to pay? Or maybe not, maybe it's not going to have the same exact halacha like the Av. So Amar Papa, Rav Papa says, Yesh men keyetz ben, there are those of the Teilodis that are the same as the Av, V'yesh men lav keyetz ben, and there are those that are not the same. Now the Gemara later on is going to explain as it goes along to first define what are these Av Malachas and what are the Teilodis, and then to see, okay, so which ones are that have the same characteristics in Halacha as the Av and which ones do not. So the Gemara opens up by explaining the Sotar Rabban, the Lein Labraisa. Gimel Avas Nemi B'Shar, we're going to the first one mentioned in the Mishnah, the Shar Bar Mava Heva. So it says that there are actually three primary categories of damages that are said regarding the ox himself. What are they? There's Hakeren, there's the horn, which is that he gores with his horn. Vashein, it's with the teeth of the ox to eat. Vaharegel, and the foot, which is when he steps on things to break utensils as he's walking. There are actually three avos in the ox himself. So the Gemara explains, Karen Minolam, where do we know that there's an av of Nezikin, of Karen, of an ox goring with its horns? That the Torah considers that a primary Nezikin. The Tanya Rabban, like, learn the Braisa. Pasuk says in Shemois, that actually it said, Vichi Yigach, that when an ox will, when the ox will gore, as ish or yes isha of a mace, a man or woman, and they will die, so you have to stone the ox, can't eat its meat, and the bahashar is naki. So, says the Braisa, enegich el bekaren. So it talks about a type of damage being done by an ox, and what's the type of damage? It's being done kigach, when it's yigach. What is yigach? It's goring with the horn. How do we know this? Shenem, like it says the Pasuk Melachim Aleph. The Pasuk says, they were trying to convince one of the kings of Yehuda to go ahead and join the kings of Yisrael and to fight Aram. So he hired, the king of Yisrael hired all these false prophets, and they were trying to convince him, yeah, Hashem's saying that you're going to be victorious against Aram. So one of them, one of these false prophets, who was Tzidki ben Kenana, made for him a karne barzel, horns of iron. The Yoyman, he said, this is what Hashem is saying. With this you will gore Aram, and etc. Now, what do you see from this pasuk is obviously that negicha is with a karen, because that's what he's saying. He's holding karen e barzel, iron horns, and he says, with this you're going to be menegayach as Aram. So obviously, the term kiigach is a reference to goring with one's horns. So tuva'imid, there's a pasuk in Devarim that says, by the bracha of Yosef, it says, b'chayr, the firstborn, shayrai, his ox, Hadurlai, the glories to him, the karmne re'im karnav, and the horns of a re'im, a type of animal, are his horns. Behem am minagach, with them he will be minagach, people, nations. Obviously you see that what is yinagach, it's goring, and that's being done with the horns. Now the Gemara asks, why do we have to bring another source? And it wasn't enough from the Pasuk Melachim Aleph to prove that negicha is with karen, is with the horn. The Gemara says, because v'chitim, if you're going to say divrei Torah, divrei Kabbalah, lo yalfinan, then maybe you can't learn out biblical law, which is written in the Chumash, from divrei Kabbalah, which is a reference to Nach, Nevi'im, and Kesuvim. Because here you have a pasuk Melachim Aleph, that's now part of the Chumash itself. And maybe therefore you wouldn't be able to learn out that what's Kiyigach, that it means Bekaren from a pasuk in Nach. Tashema, that's what the pasuk, then that the Braisa has to bring, a pasuk in Sefer Devarim, b'chayr, shayrei, hadur, like that. From that pasuk you see that Negicha is Bekaren. Now, the Gemara asks, how could that be a reason why you need another pasuk? The high melefu? What? That's learning out from Nach? You're not learning out anything from Divrei Kabbalah from Nach, not to create a liability, not to create an exemption. It's rather gilu milsa ba'amahu. It's just revealing a definition. You just want to know translation with wherever it says dinagicha bekaren. Whenever you use the terminology of negicha, it means karen. Why can't you, even if you learned it out from somewhere else, you just want to know definition, not learning out. You read halacha, you can't learn out. Why couldn't I just know that it's all given by Hashem, all the 24 Sifrei Tanakh? So I want to know what the definition is. Why wouldn't you be able to learn that out from Nach, from the Vimik Suvra? Taylor Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. The reason why we needed Va'omer, another Pasig, was because Ma'ad the Tema Ki Polygrachmona bin Tam Lemuid, because I would have thought that maybe when does the Torah differentiate between a Tam and a Mu'ud? And that is something called a Sher Tam, which literally means to say a whole, an innocent ox, which the pasuk says that for the first few times that it gores, it says v'chatzu es kaspoy, which is that a shur tam when it gores another ox only has to pay half the damages. Now, when it becomes a shur hamuid, which is something that it's already have been worn and already created the characteristic that it damages after three or four times, that then you have to actually, the pasuk says, Shal misham ter tachs asher. You have to pay nezik shalom. So there's a difference in halacha regarding the av of keren, when it gores, between the first few times and later on. So now says the Gemara, if I only had the first pasuk, I would have thought, when does the ter differentiate? That's only when actually the horns are actually disconnected, which is similar to that case of the horns of Tzidkiah ben Kenana, where he was holding the horns made out of iron that wasn't connected to an animal. So I would have thought when an animal holds onto the horns between its teeth and the gores, we're there, yeah, over there the tom, the first few times, will not pay the entire damages, because it's not normative for an ox to do that. And therefore, the owner should not have been should not be held to such a high standard of liability, because it's not something he should have expected. So maybe over there, the halach is going to be that there's a difference between tam and mu'ud. The first few times, only paying chatzin nezik, half the damages. But when the horns are connected on the ox's head, where it's normal for an ox to gore with it, that's how he protects himself. That's one of his weapons. And then I would have said that maybe that always, even the first few times, he's going to be considered a shara mu'ud and he's going to have to pay nezik shalom, the complete damages. Tashema, that's why the brides had to bring another pasuk in Devarim, b'chayr shara hadulay, b'gaymren, etc., where the karnei re'aim, the horns of the re'aim, there you see the pasuk use the terminology of negicha, so you see that even when it's connected to the head, it's called negicha, and therefore when the Torah used the term of ki'igach, where it, the Torah is differentiating between a keren of tam and the keren of mu'edes, you see that that's going to include even when it's attached to the head, because we see the term in the Torah of kiigach could refer also to not only when the horns are detached, but even when they're attached, and still the first three times, you're going to be exempt from the entire damages. You only have to pay chatzin nezik. So again, that's the biblical source for the av nezikin of keren, where it's learned that kiigach, as we just proved, the term yigach means negicha b'keren, goring with the horns. Now, so the Gemara asks, okay, now that we understand that av, now, Telah did the Karen Mahi. What is the derivative of the Av Nezikin of damaging with the horns? So, on that, the Gemara says, they're Negifa, when the animal pushes with its body and it intended to damage. So, it wasn't with its horns, but it's the same idea where it's protecting itself and it's damaging another animal. It doesn't have to be protecting, it just wants to damage another animal. Or Neshicha, biting. Or Ravitza, where it sees utensils on the road. And it goes and it squats to lay down it just to break, it wants to break those vessels. Or be'ita, when it kicks with its feet to break utensils. Now, that's why these are considered teladis derivatives of keren, of the horn, because the primary characteristic, and this is important as we'll see in the sugya, when we call something an abnezikin, it's not so much the body part, what the object is, but the characteristic of that. Now, the characteristic of keren, of the horn, is that its intention is to damage. What are you doing with your horns? You want to damage that other thing. Now, moreover, there's no pleasure that it gets from the damage, which these things are similar to keren in that. And also, it's not normative. It's not a constant thing that an animal would damage. These things all have that common with keren, and therefore, as long as it wasn't worn three times in the courts, it's going to be considered a shor tam, and it's not going to pay nezik shalom, it's only going to pay chatzin nezik. So those are the teladis of keren. Now the Gemara asks, Maishnu negicha de kar le'av. Now the Gemara just wants to understand regarding one of these that we consider a telada from the av, which is considered negicha. What's the difference? Why do we call negicha going with its horns? It's called an av, because as we just proved before, dichsev ki'igach, because we find the pasuk that talks about this as a way of damaging, so this is considered primary. Negifa namiksev ki'igev, but we have a pasuk in Shemais that also says ki'igev shor ish esheri ehu, that when the ox of a person will be yigev, which seemingly is like we said, negifa means pushing with his body, the ox of its friend. So the question is, since negifa is also written in the Torah, it should also be a primary av nezikin. Why do you say that negicha with the horns is considered an av? And the telada are these items, which one of them is negifa, but why? Negifa itself is also written in the pasuk, it should be its own av. So I think my answer is high negifa negichi. Actually, although it used the term negifa, but that negifa should be translated not as pushing with the body, but actually going with the horns. The Tanya, as we learned, is actually in the Braisa. The Braisa points out that pasach ben negifa. The pasach opens up with the term of negifa, where it says ki yigayf shayr ish shayr eyu, that when the ox of one man will be yigayf the ox of his friend. Now v'sayim negicha, but it ends with calling it negicha, as it says, oy noyde kishar nagahu, or if you find out that it was a goring ox, meaning that it wasn't a tam, it was a muid. Now it doesn't say kishar nagafu. The pasuk opens up by calling it that he did negifa to the other one, and so it should have said kishar nagafu, but it doesn't say that. It says kishar nagahu. Why does it change that? It says the brisa loy melcha could tell you this actually, which is answering our question that zuhi negifa. Although the pasuk opened up with the term negifa, it's not pushing with the body. Rather, zuhi negicha. It's the same thing as the pasuk concludes with its pushing. With its horn, meaning goring. Now, as Rashi points out, what's the proof for that? Maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe say that negifa is the av, and say although the pasuk ends over negicha, it's coming to tell you that negicha is actually negifa, which is pushing with the body. And that says Rashi can't say that because, as we brought another pasuk already in the Gemara previously, that negicha means with the horns. So we know negicha kigach means with the horns. So the pasuk concluding kishar nagachu, we know it's with the horns. So why is it open up with Kiyigayf is to tell you that actually negifa is negicha. Now, then the question is, then maish no gabi adam, why is it any different when it talks about an ox goring a person? The chsiv kiyigach, where there it only says the term kiyigach sher ish, when the ox will gore a man. Now, maish no gabi behemah, but now why is it different when it talks about the goring of an ox to another ox, where for some reason, and we know it means goring with the horns, as we said, that's why it ends off kishar nagahu, but why is it dechsiv kiyigayf? Why does it open up by saying kiyigayf shari isha shari eyu? If anyways it means goring with the horns, why does it change it from negicha to negifa? So I think Mar explains, adam de islay mazla, a person that has mazal, which Rashi here translates as intelligence, to protect himself. So ksiv kiyigach. So when it talks about an ox goring him, it used the terminology of ki yigach, because yigach connotes that the ox is coming at him with a lot of power and with the intention to really do damage. Because if he's not going to harm the person, because the person has intelligence how to get away from the ox. So if he gored the person, must have been that he really came at him with intention to do a lot of harm and a lot of damage. Behemah did less lay mazla, but an animal that doesn't have its mazla, doesn't have either a malach to protect it or its own intelligence like a person, ksiv kiyigayf. So there, it used the terminology kiyigayf, which is because negifa sounds like just that it was near there and they just pushed it, where it just bumped into it, it hit it, it damaged it. Where that's why it changes to tell you that by an animal, it wouldn't require this coming at it full force to cause any damage. It could damage it even with less intention. Now, what's the difference? Says the Gemara, Milsa Agaburcha Kemashbalan. Parenthetically, the pasuk is teaching you a halachic relevancy, where from the fact that it tells you that by a person has to be negicha, and by a behemoth has to be negifa, meaning it could even be negifa, which from that we understand that it's easier for it to kill an animal than to harm a person. So that teaches us the following halacha. The muid la adam have a muid la behema. If an ox has already done three times and considered shar hamuid in harming people, then for sure it's considered shar hamuid to be liable for nezik shalom regarding if it's now going to damage an animal. But a muid la behema la have a muid la adam. But although an ox has become a shar hamuid because it killed an animal three times, it's not going to be considered shar hamuid regarding a person. And therefore, although it's a shar hamuid from harming animals, if now it gores a person and kills him, the shur is going to have the halacha of a shur tam, which is that the owner of the ox will not have to pay kaifer, which is the amount of money of the worth of the person that was killed, which is that the halacha is by a shur tam that kills a person. The pasuk says, sakal yisakal hashar, so you have to stone the ox. Ubahal hashar naki, but the pasuk in Shemos Chafalav says, but the owner of the ox, he's cleansed, he's not liable. Now, whereas by a shur mu'id, by an ox that has already gored a few times, it says in the pasuk, "Begamba olav yumas," that also his owner will be killed, which actually, as the Gemara explains, it doesn't mean literally being killed. It means that it's regarding the value of life in monetary terms, which is he has to pay the value of his life, of the one who was killed, to his inheritors. But it doesn't really mean that he's killed, because actually, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Tezvav Mabez, that a person is only liable for his own murder, but he's not liable for the murder of his ox. But Again, as we said, when he's a mood for the Adam, he's for sure mood to Behemoth, because if he's such a wild animal that he could kill and harm and maim people, for sure he can maim animals. But maiming animals doesn't mean for sure that he'll be harming people, and therefore that's not something that we should have expected the owner to protect him from people, because again, it's much easier to harm animals than it is to be people. Now, Rashi just points out an important point, that is, how do you ever have a mood to kill people, where if the halacha is that as the moment he kills one person, he has to be stoned, says Rashi, must be talking about that they never brought the ox to court until he already had gored three times, and therefore, that's why it wasn't stoned on the first time. So you could have a situation where it's a mood la'adam, and again, if it's a mood to harming people, then it's definitely a mood for behema. And even though it never gored an animal before that, the next time it gores an animal, it will be already chayiv nezik shalom. So now the Gemara, however, asks, regarding these four teiladas we mentioned for the av malacha of Karen, the Gemara asks, neshicha, one of the cases we're given were biting. Ask the Gemara, teilada desheni, that should be derivative of the tooth, which is the way it harms it with the teeth. So this is biting. So it's not eating, but it's using the teeth to harm. So why isn't it a derivative of shein? So the Gemara says, loy, shein yeshano lazik, as we mentioned this concept before. It's not so much when it harms through consuming, through eating an animal, that the owner is going to be liable for that damages, because it's done with the teeth. That's just incidental. The primary characteristic of shein is that there's pleasure in the damage that it's doing, which is eating. Ha ein ano lazeka, when it bites another animal, bites something to damage it, there's no pleasure that it gets out of it. It's just intending to cause damage, which is really what Karen is. That's why it's a derivative of Karen. So the Gemara, similarly regarding the last two ones, revitu ubi'ita, laying down on something or kicking something, tolada deregelhi, they're derivatives of the feet, because meaning as an animal walks, it causes damage. So these are both derivatives. One is because when it kicks something, it's using its foot. And when it lays down, as Rashi points out, so it bends its legs, that's how it squats, that's how it lays down. So it's primarily damaging through the feet. So why is it considered derivative of Karen? So again, the Gemara says, Lai, no. Regel hazeka matzai. The primary characteristic of the damages of regel, which is when it damages as it's walking, is not so much because it's the feet. It's just because it's very normal as it's going, where it's common for a damage to happen. The animal doesn't watch, it just walks. Now, if there's anything under its feet, it's going to step on it. Hani eini zeken matzai. But these, although they're, let's say, being used with the feet, their damage is not common, because it's not normal for an animal to want to kick something and cause damage to it. Therefore, the derivatives of Karen, which are also not hezek matzah, it's not common for it to happen, and there's no pleasure for the damage that it's causing. So it's not like regel or shein. And therefore, since its primary idea is to cause damage, that's why it pays chatzin nezik, only half of the damages, like Karen, when, as what's written in the Torah, that of being gigach, goring with its horns. So now the Gemara concludes what we had started off with. So elatol desein lav kayetzim and amar apapa. So this that Rav Papa had said, that sometimes the derivative is going to be and sometimes it's not going to be like the av. Ahai, which av and toilada was he talking about that he was saying that sometimes the derivative is not going to be like the av? So the Gemara explains, Eli Mahani, if you would say on these first three that we spoke about, on Karen, which is the first one of the first three that we spoke about, of that in Shoyer this Karen chain the regal, which the first one we're discussing was Karen. Well, but Maishna Karen, why is the horn any different? Where you're liable, the Kavanos Lahazik, because the intention from the ox is to cause damage. Uma Maincha, and it's your money, you own this ox. Ushmiras Nalacha, and therefore it's responsible upon you to safeguard and to watch that it doesn't cause damage, and therefore you're liable if it does. So then these four teladas are seemingly the same thing. Their intention is to cause damage. And therefore you have a responsibility to watch. And therefore if it damages, you're going to be chayiv for the damages of Karen when it's a tam chatzin nezik, when it's a mud nezik shalom, just like the av. So Ella, rather the Gemara says, you're right, teladah the Karen to kick Karen. The derivative of Karen will be like Karen. That's from those which we said are kayitzman are going to be the same as the av. But when did Rapapa say that the Teladasin are not going to be the same as the Av? That's going regarding the Mazik of Shein, of when the animal uses teeth to eat something, and of Regal, when it's walking and it walks on someone else's property and damages it, that's the Av, where the Telad is not going to be the same. Which Sigmar explains, Shein v'regel hechigsibi. As we mentioned, the source for Karen to be an av in the Torah. So now the Gemara wonders, so where do we find Shein and Regel being sourced in the Torah to say that they're an av malach, they're an av hamazik? So the Gemara says, the time, like, learn the Braisa. The Pasuk says in Shemais Perichav Beis Pasuk Dalet, it says, in the middle of the Pasuk, it says, v'shilach, that if a person will send espiro, his animal, uvir b'stei achar, and it will consume in another field, although the term bi'iroi and beer sound the same, bi'iroi is his animal and beer is from the term of consuming in another field. So the Nalocha says, Meitev Sedeyu, Meitev Karmi Yishalmi, has to give the best of his lands to compensate the person that his animal had damaged. So the term when it used in the Pasuk is Shilach, that he sends, well, Zeha Regel, that's a reference to, what about his sending his animal? What type of damage did it do? It's a reference to the damage it did with its feet. How do you know that? Because V'cheinu Oimer, so too it says the Pasuk in Yeshayah. It says, Mishalchi Regel Hasher V'chamar, that they send the feet of the ox and the donkey. You see that the term of sending is connotes the idea about Regel, so that when it's talking about the animal causing damage because you sent it, it's a reference to the damages being done through its feet just by walking. Now, Uvir, when then the Pasuk continues, it says, as we said, it says, Beshilach is Be'iri, he sends his animal. That's one thing, that's Beshilach, that's the damage it causes by walking. Then it says, Ubir b'stei achar, that it consumes in another field. So Hashem, that's a reference to the tooth, which is how the animal consumes the produce of the other person's field. B'chinu Eber, so it says the Pasuk, Malachim Aleph. It says, Kashi Yevair, like it consumes, as we continue on top of Gimel and Aleph, Hagolol, what consumes? That's a reference to the tooth, where sometimes it's revealed and sometimes it's hidden. That's what's called hagalol from the term of gilui, atumai, until it finishes it off. Now you see that it used the term of yevar, of beer, by when it talks about gul, which is shein. So you see that when it says in the pasuk of beer, it's referring to the avamazig of shein. Or Rashi has a different interpretation that actually gulol, as we find other places in Tanakh, is a reference to dung, animal dung, which is the reason why it's a reference to Shane, is because the tooth consumes the food, which is what Yavar is talking about, which is what a beer is, and then it turns it into dung in its intestines, and then it releases that. So either way, that gull is going to be either from the term of being revealed or from turning things into dung. It's a reference to the term of tooth, but therefore, that's what the Gemara says. That's the source for them being called an Av Hamazik, which is, it has to have been written such a damager in the Torah, and it does. It says it by Vishilach, which is a reference to the feet, to the regal of the shire, and ubir is a reference to the shein of the shire.